We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Okay, I mean, I'm starting to think I don't even really like Cork people. Do you know where I'm coming from with this, or is this totally out of left field?
Tell me why you don't like them.
It's like, I think Cork people have this idea of themselves that they're great and they're so much, so witty and so much funnier than Dublin people. Now, don't get me wrong. I fucking can't stand loudmouth dubs, so I'm not even using that comparison. But you know, Cork people are like, oh, we're so funny, we're so witty, Cork by, oh, the Shandon Bells. It's like, the Shandon Bells is a piece of shit, like, that's a crap church.
The fucking the Butter Museum next door, that's the real attraction.
Yeah, like, the Cork landmarks are crap, and people think they're brilliant. And since I moved here, even just talking to people from the north side, it's like they're a different breed of people. Like, just no manners or anything. You go into the post office and they're like, what? Like, what the fuck do you think? I'm posting. Yeah, like, I went up to the post office with, you know, if you miss a delivery, they give you a leaflet, yeah, a little thing, and you bring it in. So, I knew that I'd missed it because I was told the leaflet's in the door, but I was at work. So I was like, oh, I'll pop to the post office on the way back. I went to the post office and I was like, my name is blah, 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 blah. This is why I missed blah, blah, blah. And I think I even had the code that was on the leaflet. I just didn't have the leaflet. And they looked at me like I had 10 heads and they were like, sure, you can't be doing that. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what? And they started giving out to me, being like, you need that leaflet. Sure, I don't know who you are. I was like, I've got my fucking ID here that says my name on it. And why do you think I'd randomly come into a post office, give a fake name, and hope that you had a parcel for me? Oh, anyway.
They all just look over to each other. Hey, this guy wants to pick up a fucking parcel.
I was just like, but then the minute you cross over the river, people are polite as fuck. So maybe it's just north side.
I don't know. I think that happens anywhere, personally. I think people in general are dickheads.
Yeah. Not in Clonakilty. No. It's a tourist hotspot, so they're kind and polite.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't...
In the summer months, maybe.
There's like a perception that like... Well, I live in like really rural place. But there's this kind of idea that there's like such a strong community feeling in these parts of the country. But in my experience, people are extremely pleasant face to face. But as soon as someone walks away, they'll turn to the person next to them and talk all kinds of shit about them, like, and what their family, about their family especially. And like, I'd be walking along, I go for walks around here. And I can hear people talking, you know, because it's so quiet. Like, I can hear them talking nearly a mile away because they'd be shouting over ditches and whatever because there's trees blocking us and they can't see me. And I'd be walking along and I hear them talking about someone like, oh, she's very awful, said, oh, I don't know what she's doing with that car. Oh, the hair on her. Did you see the hair on her? And that's kind of stuff. And they'd go around the corner and they'd run into that person and they'd be like, hello, Mary. Oh, it's great to see you. Oh, no. Fucking hell. I cannot stand the gossip culture in rural Ireland. It drives me fucking insane.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a really small town, village kind of mentality, isn't it? Like, knowing everybody's business.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Because like, everyone knows everyone. So everyone, there's nothing else to do other than talk about other people and what they've done and mock them relentlessly. But they all know the other person. People are mocking them behind their back as well, gossiping about them. But they just go along because they're like, I will live in willful ignorance because it keeps me happy. Let's not step out of line here.
There's this might have to be cut. I'm not sure about this because it might just be a bit too revealing of someone. But basically, right? We'll see. So I was at home one day and some neighbor came to visit and she was just chatting away to my mother. And one of the neighbors So there's like a couple, and the husband had recently like died, like very sad, whatever. This was years ago anyway. And the neighbor who came to visit, they were kind of talking about your man dying, and they were like, oh, it's very sad, isn't it? And the neighbor was like, but did you know that they're swingers? And I was like, for fuck's sake, like, the guy's just dead. Like, there's a widow there, and you're going on about them being swingers. Like, it was just bullshit.
Like. I know. It's like people say, like, cities are so impersonal, where, like, you walk down the street and you don't say hello to anyone. You just, like, you're like a ghost. You're a ghost moving past each other. But I nearly prefer that, where you, at least you, when you stop to talk to someone, it's because you want to stop to talk to them. Like, you want to talk to them, you know them, your friends, or you go to see your friends. Like, you don't know the fella two doors down from you or whatever, and you don't talk about the person up the street and who broke their fucking leg in the bat or whatever. I couldn't give a flying fuck about most people at all.
Just on that point, Flynn, I remember my first like memory of moving from like London, where, like you said, everyone minds their own business. It's very rare to get like interactions with people in, you know, day-to-day activities.
Yeah,
I remember I was walking on a side street down in Clun, and this old fella, just an old lad, was walking along. It was like early morning, and he gave me a wink. It's like the most bizarre, bizarre thing, because, yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's when you're coming from a place like London, a wink means, you know,
yeah, I know,
other things, you know. But I guess there's little quirks like that.
Oh, I know, because like when I'd go for a walk around where I live, it's very rural, but like I'd run into the same people every day, kind of thing, who are walking themselves, and so eventually hello turns into like nice evening or something, and you know, then they start talking about the weather, and then you see them so frequently that when you pass them, you nearly have to stop, and every conversation gets longer and longer. I think by the end of lockdown, we're just going to be having full-on philosophical debates between us, like just sitting down with up smoking pipes in leather chairs, like
gas.
Yeah. I know the life story of every fucking dog in West Cork at this point.
In a way, it's nice though, because I think there's a lot of people in other places that would kill for a bit of, even if it's not genuine, just a little bit of, you know, pleasantries.
I know,
the people around you. You know,
that's part.
So it's a good problem.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's something that you probably prefer when you're older, like there's
when you have nothing, you know?
Exactly, like there's a bit of anonymity, there's something nice about that when you're younger and you can just do your own fucking shit. But when you're over the hill, it's probably nice that anyone gives a shit about you.
Yeah, because like right now I don't give a shit about Mary, who's been in hospital for 2 months or something, or like all this 70-year-old who had a hip replacement over in the next townland. Don't give a shit about that. But once I'm over like the age of 50, they'll be my people. So it'll be like if we were like 13 talking about who shifted who or whatever at the bottom room, that kind of thing.
Whose hip got replaced? It's the new shifting.
Yeah.
I kind of miss it when people shifting was news, you know? I'd love if someone was like, you'll never guess who shifted who. Oh my God, I would fucking kill for that now. Like,
that's because they would do that, but it doesn't happen when you're over 50. If someone was shifting someone when they're like 50 years old, they would definitely talk about it, but it doesn't happen. So they have to talk about their fucking hips.
They don't shift now. They swing, you know, so they're talking about
swinging.
That's
it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's full penetration once you're over 50. They don't even shift, they go straight to fingering, like.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, when you're that age, they probably, if they were like married or whatever, they probably kiss someone 10,000 times, and they, like, it just means nothing at all to them.
No.
It's just, they go straight full on, you know, right up.
That's it.
The main road, like.
I wonder, like, if couples in their 50s, like, if one of them came back and said, listen, Margaret, I kissed Sheila down the road there the other night because I was hammered. Like, would she be like, I don't give a fuck? Like, what are you? Like, would it be the same as like saying I held someone's hand?
Oh my God. Imagine that. Imagine if you were married and like your spouse came home one night and was like, we got drunk and one thing led to another and we held hands.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were like, Jesus Christ, will I get rid of the marriage? Will I dissolve the marriage and the life I have now and the kids, just uproot everything over that?
Exactly. Like, you know,
is it
like
worth
after 20, but like, what's, I wonder what the cutoff is. Like,
yeah.
Like, or is it wanking? Yeah. Like, if like Sheila wanked me off, but not to completion. Sure, the wife is probably still going to be like, look, we've been married 25 years. Like, it was bound to happen eventually.
They'd be like, oh, I'm just not arsed about dating again. That's what they'd be weighing up. Yeah. They'd be like, I just don't want to go through the effort of finding all this again. So I'm just like, fine.
Just forget. We joke, but like, that's definitely happening.
Oh, yeah.
Across the country. 100%. 100%. I can't be bothered. I'm cozy. I'm comfy as I am now. I'll just forget about it.
Sure, that's what happens to people our age. People even that's our true. Age do that. And they're like, I'll just get married. Sure, I don't, can't be arsed with anything else.
Yeah, it's far easier to stay in a comfortable relationship rather than, I don't know, try to, wait, what's my point? Yeah, no, it's just easier to stay. Sorry, I keep getting distracted by Kieran's fucking picture. It's easier to stay in a comfortable relationship than try to deal with issues, to be honest, or try to like start all over again, especially if you're old and it's hard to find someone because you're old, because you don't look good anymore.
Yeah, especially out in the country. Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why people turn to their cousins. Like,
Yeah, I suppose so.
Right?
I think maybe.
I mean, back in the day, let's say over like 150 years ago, cousins, marrying cousins wasn't even that big a deal. And that's not even for poor people. The fucking royal families of Europe are all fucking each other, having children. Oh, yeah. And they were like first cousins, half of them.
And they were all really deformed and like mentally challenged.
Some of them ended up that way, yeah.
Yeah.
They had to be kept in dark rooms, like.
And away from Epstein Island and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, does anyone have strong opinions on the Oprah interview with
I just thought it was funny the way people are saying this is the biggest scandal in Buckingham Palace history, except for last year. I didn't
catch that. And then many others.
Oh fuck, I activated Siri voice somehow. Sorry.
That's a warning. that's a warning from the royal family, that is.
Yeah, I know.
yeah, they're listening. Yeah, the fucks. I don't know. I thought it was a bit mad, the whole thing. It's just when Meghan was saying the thing about, oh, there was concerns over the color of the baby's skin and Oprah's face. Yeah. Just like, what?
Hold up.
Yeah. Really got me.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. For me, it was no news whatsoever. Like, none of that was surprising.
Who was surprised by this? Any of this?
But apparently lots of people. And that's what makes me surprised. And I also think it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of cheesy, isn't it? Going off and doing like basically a talk show about it.
Oh, yeah. For sake of.
Sure. Look.
Yeah, although, I did enjoy.
It is the best thing to happen if you don't like the royal family, I was saying, because once the Queen dies, public support for this thing goes down the tubes, really.
Completely, yeah. Because Prince Charles has never been liked, ever. He's not going to be now.
Even by his wife.
By wives, multiple, really.
Yeah. You know, people, that's one thing about the royal family. Like, Charles has always been made out to be the asshole in the Diana situation. Sure, she cheated on him as well. And he didn't want to be with Diana because he was in love with Camilla or whatever. So he, despite what's best for appearances, which would have been sticking with Diana, he, you know, threw that away because he wanted to be with the woman he loved, which makes him, well, he's not a good guy because he's a fucking royal family prick. But I don't know why he's made out to be the villain in this when Diana was cheating on him as well. Anyway, forget the whole thing. I don't even want to talk about it that much.
I don't know how to build this into the North London Derby, but it is going to be built into the North London Derby. But here it goes. Good win for Arsenal. Flynn, you must be happy.
I am. Yeah, grand. But watching the game was a bit painful because I was like, we are dominating Spurs complete. Like, well, it's more them being shocking than Arsenal being anyway good because they were absolutely dog shit. Doherty and Bale should be put out to pasture. Bale, the resurgence was short-lived. He left Doherty, hung him out to dry, and he got destroyed all evening. They got the most one-in-a-million jammy fucking goal you'll ever see. That is a goal that you'll never see again. They should not have been in the game at all. They got a red card when they actually started attacking. It's an indictment of Mourinho, really, more than anything. The tactics he set out for this game were unbelievably negative and they weren't working. He got a man sent off and he said, let's attack now, because his whole tactic is, we are the underdogs, we're going to sit back and grab something on the counter. But they were shocking, even at defending, they were shocking at counter-attacking. And it's only when Arsenal took the foot off the gas after the red card that they started creating anything at all, really, any consistent chances. Lucky it wasn't a lot worse for them. And that's saying something, because they were played with 10 men and they lost it was a bad loss to their biggest rivals. But they deserved it. Tottenham are woeful. Mourinho is woeful. Arsenal were grand. I wouldn't say they were great or anything. They pressed them when they needed to and they won the ball and they created stuff. And I'm happy enough. Always happy to win this kind of match. You know, I think this game is consistently the most entertaining game in the league. That's my opinion.
Agreed. No, I have to say that some of the best Premier League classics have come from a North London derby. And like high scoring games too. I can't remember them exactly, but I remember a few 5-4s, which is, you know, rare in itself. But
yeah,
come out of the same
like 5-2s and stuff.
Yeah, some real great games. I wanted to go back as well because, you know, it's been something we've spoken about for like the past year nearly. And it's Arteta, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Frank Lampard. One of them's out of the equation now. Arteta, I think, showed today why we kind of rated him so kind of like bigged him up, I guess, back in the day. Because he can make bold calls like that, dropping Aubameyang.
Oh, yeah.
Seemingly on the match day as well. Like,
that's huge, yeah, to drop the captain and their best player probably because he was late in the big derby of the season. Yeah, big balls to make that call. Could have gone horribly wrong, but it didn't.
Because I didn't say it to you, Flynn, but I said it to Kieran before the game that I thought, when I saw that team, I thought Spurs were going to have a fucking field day. But you must have thought the same, surely.
No, I didn't actually.
No, when I saw the team,
diminished team, but I was still like, in recent weeks, Arteta has kind of won me round. I don't want to say he's the man for the job.
Get off the fence.
Okay, it's been like the last few games, they've actually been playing well, creating chances and being the better team in games, even when they didn't get the result, like that Wolves game. God almighty, that fucking Wolves game will haunt me forever. Cannot believe they lost that. But they, like, the results haven't been great still. But when I watch the games, I watch and I think, we're the better team. And I've been thinking that for a few weeks, for a few matches in a row now, Europa League, even they didn't win against Benfica. They like drew and beat them then. But I was watching it and like, okay, I was always confident they were going to win because I was watching them. I'm like, they're still in this. They're going to get back because they're the better team right now. And under Arteta previously and under Emery, it's like since Wenger left, really, up until maybe 3 months ago, every time I watch Arsenal, I'm like, God, we're fucking shocking. We will be lucky to get a point from this game. And I've thought that about every game since Wenger left, pretty much. And since, for the past couple, maybe 2 months, Arsenal have looked good on the eye. Like, watching them has not been painful, even though, actually, I'll take that back, because they still make unbelievably stupid mistakes all the time. Like, that Xhaka mistake against Burnley, another game they should have won. They were by far the better team. But, like, that's, after a while of watching Emery and Arteta, I was just, went so long without thinking we're going to win this game that I didn't care about the result. I just wanted to see, to be confident in the team. I just wanted to see something to hang on to. And that's what I've seen for the past few weeks. So fine. I guess I'm team Arteta right now.
Hey, that makes three of us, right?
I suppose.
Yeah. I was impressed. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like that. It could have been dreadful, right?
Yeah, I even watching it, it reminded me an awful lot of the last time you played Spurs, where it felt like you were all over them, but they were just going to get you on the counterattack, and between Son and Kane and whoever else, they'd do it to you. But it just didn't work today.
Their midfield like the exact was same. Shocking.
Their midfield is shit. Anyway, we've said that numerous times.
Hollenberg. This fella, the most overrated fucking clown in the Premier League. Like, people going on about him as a signing of the season or something. Oh, what a masterstroke by Daniel Levy. What a great signing. Oh, he's really the missing piece of the puzzle. Him and this Ndombele fella. Throw him in the fucking bin.
I agree.
What about Matt Doherty, though? Going from, like, star player at Wolves, breaking into the Ireland team.
Mm.
He's just... join Spurs for a big money move. I don't know whether it's the formation or more Mourinho or just that he's been found out. But
yeah, he's bad. Like I said, he's today he was really hung out to dry by Bale, though, who was like on a Sunday stroll in the park.
Yeah, he was. I just think, like, we all agree that it's just he's a pretty decent wing back, but not a very good fullback.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that with Wolves, their style meant that he didn't have to actually do much defending. We see this with a lot of teams, that their wingbacks are kind of midfielders because they had like real deep central defensive midfielders. Whereas Spurs, as we've just mentioned, that midfield isn't exactly great. And the defense, the centre-backs especially, have changed so many times this season. I guess he just gets found out for being not a very good defender.
Yeah, and he's not even doing very well attacking these days either. So
no,
sure. That one season he had last season, was that like the first good season in his whole career?
I think he had two good seasons.
Did he?
I could be totally wrong.
He was great in the Championship. I remember he was like a star kind of player for them. Like, they had a great squad. They had to win that league.
Was obscene. Like, Ruben Neves joining Championship team for like, what was it, 20 something million?
Yeah, mental.
What the fuck?
Mental. Sorry, go on, Adrian.
Oh, well, you're probably going to ask what I was about to ask. The penalty.
Oh, yes. Yes, thoughts on penalties.
I thought it was a penalty. I don't think there's any controversy about it.
I actually kind of agree with you, and I don't know if it's because I have Lacazette in my team and I wanted it to be a penalty, but I know he scuffs the shot totally, but your man still fucking cleaned him out.
He cleaned him out, and he didn't get any contact on the ball. So, I mean, it's open and shut case, I think.
Yes, same. The exact same. I know the ball was kind of a little bit out of the equation at the time that the contact happened, but
I mean, Lacazette got lucky that he fucked the shot up and then your man clobbered into him anyway.
Yeah. I've definitely seen penalties given for less. for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
nearly every week. God, there was no fucking VAR or anything in this game.
That's what kind of made it a bit enjoyable for me, was that it just seemed like a really flowing, scrappy game. Bullshit. Yeah. I want to ask as well, actually, Partey, every time I watch him, I think he's rubbish. I think he's really rubbish.
I kind of, I don't know. Sometimes I watch him and I'm like, wow, what a great pass. He's unpressurable, like the way players crowd around him and he'll just find a way out or something. And then sometimes I watch him and he'll just kind of pass the ball to no one and just like under no pressure, just do something really fucking stupid. And he'll get the ball on the edge of the box and then he'll have a shot that hits the corner flag or something. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, it's a bit like, it's a bit funny. I watch him like every week when he's fit. He hasn't had a proper run of games yet because he's just been in and out of the team. He's on his longest run of games now. I thought he was okay today. I didn't think he was shocking.
But maybe I'm just looking for it now, but I feel in the past couple of games that he started, there's been a few times that he's just passed the ball out to no one, like you said. And David Luiz and Xhaka are literally screaming at him. And he's there with like this dumb look on his face trying to defend himself. It's like the poor fucker.
Imagine David Luiz and Xhaka yelling at you for doing something stupid.
Yeah. He must feel like a boy at school with the two of them, ready to kick the head off him.
Yeah.
So North London is red.
It is, yeah.
Manchester is also red. We have to go back a weekend now and we'll have to talk about that game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer continues his good record against Pep Guardiola. Discuss.
Yeah. United love playing City for some reason. Ole loves playing City. I don't know. He's just Pep's kryptonite. He's also jammy as fuck. But, you know, even at it. I'm happy with City loss. I don't care.
I haven't seen City play that poorly in a long time, to be fair. I think the stars aligned for Ole that day. The early penalty, De Bruyne couldn't fucking kick a ball. They were just shook. And like you said, they always seem to be a bit shook playing United.
But yeah, the days of Balotelli.
Me too. I know. Some scandal in the City team would be great. I don't know. City are so good at this stage, they're kind of boring. So it was kind of nice to see them peg back. I just wish it wasn't United that did it. But
yeah, look. I guess it was written in the stars like that, though, really, wasn't it? You know, to get that many games. What was it, 21 games unbeaten? Of course it's going to be.
20 wins in a row or something.
Was it? Yeah.
21 wins, I think, yeah.
21 wins in a row, yeah. And like, it is. And like, that every win that you notch on is basically, you know, you're edging towards the last win. It was bound to kind of unravel. And it always seems to be for teams like that, unless you're Arsenal, who are invincible. It always just seems to kind of catch up on you in the bigger games. City, you know, deserved that loss massively. They just didn't show up. And then they could respond and play their reserve team against Fulham the following week just to get them all back on track. It's a bit depressing.
Yep. It's always nice to see someone brilliant just fall in the mud. That's what happened.
Still waiting for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to fall in the mud.
I know. Yeah, they won today, but just crap to watch. God, it was so boring. Did you watch that game?
Bruno was shocking as well.
I regret watching. Yeah. It was such a waste of my time. Yeah. And I think Martial is injured and Cavani, but like other than that, it was pretty much a full strength team for them. Holy moly. I don't know what Dave Moyes was thinking, just not playing football. Mm-hmm. Probably could have won the fucking game if they had.
Oh yeah, that was just Moyes fucking, that was a cowardly game.
He's a bottler.
Moyes played. He didn't even bottle it. He didn't even, because that implies he made a mistake. He went out there to play that game. He got exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. Well, shit. I resent the fact that I watched that game.
And honestly, I think Moyes comes away from that relatively happy. That's the depressing thing. I don't know how anyone can give him credit for being like a decent manager. Like he isn't, and he never has been. It's Fellaini. Fucking Fellaini is his only claim to fame.
Yeah. Suchek is just a new Fellaini, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the West Ham of Arsenal on the weekend, or next weekend in the FA Cup too. Is Moyes' eyes that early on that fixture? Surely not. Why did he play this team?
I didn't even think the team he played was that bad. It was just, well, yeah, he probably had one too many midfielders and not enough.
Sorry, who were they playing?
At the weekend, they're playing Arsenal in the FA Cup.
They're playing Arsenal?
Next weekend, yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh.
Arsenal were knocked out of the FA Cup.
Get your facts straight, lad.
Sorry, in the Premier League they're playing. Wrong competition.
Okay. All right. I was like, did I imagine Arsenal were knocked out of the FA Cup? Maybe we're still in the cup.
So and
they put out a shit team against United just to save it for Arsenal the following season. Following week, yeah.
The following season. Getting ready for the FA Cup next year.
Like, big circle marked on the calendar for next season. That fucking Arsenal game, lads.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, he should have just gone for it because United are into this fucking habit of not playing particularly well and winning games, and it's kind of annoying. So, if someone has a goal, there's every chance.
So great teams find a way.
Oh, I know.
Still second.
Yeah, well, you don't get anything for second, unfortunately. They'll win fuck all, and they'll finish ahead of Liverpool, and no one will give a shit. So that's the end of that.
Fair enough.
Fucking everyone's going to finish ahead of Liverpool this season. I'm actually not going to get into Liverpool because I feel like I've gone on two big rants the last two podcasts, so I'm not going to do it today. And there's no need.
That's fair.
We haven't seen them play this week yet.
Yeah.
They could win.
Maybe they will. Who knows?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, everyone listening to this will know what happened. So, good luck.
Yeah. You're not going to talk about Liverpool. I'm not going to talk about how Chelsea have not improved in the change of manager after a 0-0 draw against Leeds, but you know, I won't say any more.
Yeah, we can talk about whatever we want.
We can. Did any of you see Arsene Wenger's points? You know, he's got some like what FIFA position now. Did anyone see the changes he wants to make?
With offside?
Is this the offside thing?
Well, that's one of them. There was a more recent one too, which I don't think it's like happening, but it's a proposal with the World Cups and Euros.
No,
okay. I see that.
No.
Okay. Okay, cool. He's basically saying that the World Cups and Euros should be obviously on alternative years, but every 2 years and all minor competitions. And he didn't specify what the minor competitions are, but you can take a guess, would become obsolete and you get rid of them. How mad would that be, having a World Cup every 2 years? So basically international tournament every end of every season.
I prefer World Cups 4 years, I think. Like, they really mean a lot if it's 4 years. And it's, no matter how good you are, like, you might only get one or two chances to win it.
I would say, though, right, and I do accept your point, and I kind of agree, but just to argue that, where did the four-year thing come from? Because it's the same with, like, the Olympics and stuff. But surely, should there not be a competition every year to just decide the best team in the world? Like, logically speaking, if you asked a child, that's what they'd say.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Why do we have a tournament to determine the best club in Europe every year? Every season we have a Champions League. So why don't we have one to determine the best team in the world? Yeah.
There you go, see ya. Arsene Wenger, a man of wisdom. We always said it.
I'm sure it's a money thing somehow. And maybe like...
No, surely they'd make more money if it was more often.
That's what I was thinking as well, but maybe like countries couldn't afford to host it. Like, but I don't know. Maybe it would be
massive undertaking. It's like, imagine all the stuff that goes into the Olympics, hosting the Olympics and having to do that every year.
Yeah.
But they'll probably try and do the same thing is how I'd imagine it. They'll probably try and do the same thing as they're doing with the Euros, where it's like multiple hosts, have it on a continent. So it spreads the pressure. It spreads the costs. You know, like South America could hold the next World Cup and it would be in Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay. There'd be a game in Chile and stuff.
I kind of don't like spread out World Cups. I like the idea of a World Cup in a country like Italia 90 or something. I don't think of, you know, Poland and Ukraine's World Euros. Mm. Like Japan and South Korea was okay. I don't know. I don't like the idea of it being spread out. I just it's like it has more of a personality and it's more of an identifiable kind of memory to me if it's all located in somewhere. Like I think
same.
I remember the Olympics in each like Beijing or London or something, but I would remember like the Asian Olympics or something.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah, like the South African World Cup, like, just triggers so many memories. But like a European World Cup, ugh.
Yeah, because it loses the identity, doesn't it? It's like all the tournaments that you just mentioned and the places that they took place, you can kind of feel like, I don't know. For me, anyway, it's like I felt I learned something about the cities or the regions or whatever, just from like the BBC coverage. So there's that part you'd lose too, because even with the Euros now, it's like a game in Dublin and it's the semi-final and it means a lot. And then they're going to go play the final in Wembley, which isn't too far away, but, you know, very different places. The other problem, I'm not sure if Wenger is proposing it, but I'd say FIFA definitely are. And it is to open up that Middle East market to obviously cash in, is the mid-season tournaments too. So it would be every 2 years, during the season, like the Qatar tournaments are, so that you get players peak fitness and not at the end of a long season. Are you for or against that?
Well, I don't really like the idea of that. Like in the middle of a season doing an international tournament.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Same as Qatar, basically.
But is that happening? Is that even still going ahead?
I'd say it is.
What year was that meant to be? 2022?
Yeah.
2024? Oh. I don't know.
No, it's next year, I think. Because Russia was 2018. Jesus.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like that's changing the entire football calendar, and I don't really see the need for that.
No. It's just, for me, how I see it is, again, it's trying to get, you know, that market where there's obviously a ton of money. Trying to get them paying out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Wenger's lost the plot a bit on that one. And even his going back to his offside thing, I think that's a bit much as well, to be honest. That any part of you, once it's onside, any goal-scoring part of you can be onside and you're going to be onside. Is that right?
Yeah, I think
that's my understanding.
So like 95% of your body can be offside, but you still count as onside. Sure. Defenders having a whole play.
Well, yeah, I think right now we all grew up with offside as standard, obviously. And like we're used to seeing lines drawn on the pitch now and like little like millimeters determining who's offside. But like offside was brought in to stop goal hanging. And that's it, really. It was brought in because to stop people just all crowding in around near the goal and just lumping it up to them or whatever, or just one player hanging out back there, because everyone just would do that and it would just be every game would be the same. And it was trying to get rid of all this shit. So I don't really care about how close an offside is. If the spirit of offside is stopping people being on their own behind the lines, like miles out on their own. So I don't really care if it's if they change that one way or the other, as long as it would be consistently enforced. Like, once, if they change a fucking rule, just the rule has to be consistently enforced. That's what drives you crazy about VAR and things.
Did they recently get rid of that offensive handball rule? You know, if it's an accidental handball in the lead up to a goal, now it used to automatically be ruled out if it touched the hand at all.
That just happened with Fulham versus Tottenham like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're discussing it again.
All right.
Yeah, they're reviewing it again, which I feel is like the third or fourth time that they've done it this season. I don't think that's fair of across of 38 games to have three or four reviews. And have teams be refereed four times differently across the season. How is that a fair playing field?
I know, yeah. They're really screwing the pooch on it, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
Fucking.
Before you move on, I just want to say that I think, on the topic of World Cups, I think a World Cup held in the Low Countries like Belgium and the Netherlands would be unreal. I think that would be the perfect place to do a World Cup. It's never been there. They're like the biggest footballing place, Netherlands, who have not held a World Cup. I think it would be unreal. They've got the infrastructure, the culture. Imagine, and everyone would just travel to the fucking Netherlands and Belgium. I'd go there even if Ireland weren't there. Just go to games or something. That'd be class.
So they had Euro 2000 and it went really well. So the kind of trial's been done.
Yeah. And sure, that was 20 years ago, so fuck it. They're due for something. But anyway.
Well, that's true. That's true, because France seem to have it whenever they want.
I know, France just put their hands up. Yeah, yeah, go on.
England there crying out for another World Cup. They haven't had one in 60 years. France have had it 17 times in the meantime.
Do you know, I've actually never been to Belgium. Has anyone been to Belgium? I've heard really good things.
Yeah, I have. When I was younger, much, much younger, but I have, yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to give that a go. Budapest, apparently. That's what all I hear. Go to Budapest. Yeah. It's unreal. I keep forgetting where it is. That's Hungary, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I get that and Bucharest mixed up.
You could do a lot of, like Central European cities, you know, in a couple of days with trains and stuff. It'd be a good traveling plan. Sure, that's what interrailing is. Basically.
Yeah, I know. I love the idea of interrailing, but then I also hate the idea of hostels.
Oh, I know how you feel. Yeah.
But you could do like a fancy interrailing, right? And get a hotel.
I mean, if you did interrailing now, when you're like 30, it'd be grand because you could stay in nice places rather than fucking kips.
Yeah. But like, I mean, if you're spending like 200 quid a night on a hotel, and you're going for like 2 weeks, it's going to be pricey.
I know. I'd like to do it, to be honest. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Getting old now, though. It's more of like a 18-year-old thing.
It is,
looking at fucking cruise ships now.
Oh, no. Trapped on a fucking cruise ship. Having to watch like magicians who've been trapped on the boat for like 50 years.
Yeah, I don't know if I really like or really hate the idea of a cruise. I mean, if it was like smooth, I think it would be really nice. But like, they can get pretty choppy, can't they?
Yeah, I don't see the appeal.
I don't know.
It's like being trapped in a hotel.
It depends what ones you get, right? Because you can get ones that are very much like, you know, you just sleep when you're on them, and they take you from port to port, so you get to see a lot of places. That's okay, but the ones that go out to like the Caribbean waters for a week, it's just, I don't know, it just screams murder to me, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. If it was ones that like went around the Mediterranean or something and stopped off in fucking, you know, four or five cities, that would be cool.
I just think I would slip off the top deck. I have it in my mind. I would go onto the top deck, you know, the bar at the back of the ship. Watching like the wake behind me, I'd be there at the bar and I'd be like, "This is fine, Connor. You're not going to fall over at all. Just don't fall over. Don't fall over. You fell over. No, you fucking idiot."
That reminds me of something. Actually, have you guys heard of the Titanic? terrible film. The Call of the Void, or Call from the Void.
I have heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because like standing at the back of a ship, it's a natural sometimes to feel that. It's like you know, if you're ever at a really high height, like if you climb up, if you're on a skyscraper or you're on a bridge, and you have that thought in your head, or when you're driving, to be like, what if I swerve in front of the traffic?
Maybe,
or what
you have if I to jump drive off into oncoming traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we all get it. I don't think it's like a small portion of people get it. Apparently it's like built into us through, I don't know, evolution.
Weird.
But it's the Call of the Void, and it's like whenever you're up high, what will happen if I jump off here? And you kind of lose fear. You want to do it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Just thought I'd throw that out there while you're looking off the back of a ship, Flynn.
I'm terrified of heights, so if I'm ever up high, the last thing I want to do is jump off.
So. I tell myself I'm not afraid of heights, but I get scared climbing up like over three steps on a ladder. I start getting dizzy. Like if I have to change a light bulb in like a really high room or something, and you have to like fold out the ladder to be like the double linked. Once you're past the safety of like the first ladder and you have to go on to steps onto the second section, it's like, oh my god.
I mean, I don't think I'm too bad like 10 feet up, but like if I'm in a plane that's uncomprehensively high, I'm like, fuck this. You're just so out of control.
No, yeah, well the good thing is that when you're that high up in a plane, if something did go wrong, it wouldn't go wrong for very long. You'd die very quickly. So
I don't know. Yeah, I've seen a lot of like planes, like they have a malfunction and they end up having to circle around for ages, and then they just crash.
Yeah. Is that lust you're talking about though?
I don't think any of that is true, but anyway.
No, it is. I was watching a plane crash, you know, like the audio logs or whatever on YouTube, where they do like reconstruction. So like they have the real audio, but with like CGI image of the plane. And like there was one where the tail fins or whatever fucked up, and the plane ended up going into a nosedive, and ended up the pilots trying to get it out of the nosedive inverted the plane. So they were flying upside down, and they were flying upside down for ages, and they eventually did crash. But like if you were a passenger on that, you would first get the nosedive where you'd think, oh, is this right? And then you end up flying upside down for like 15 minutes or something.
Fuck. And you'd be but you'd probably lose consciousness too, right? If you're upside down and you lose that much height that quickly, right?
I don't think so. Well, the pilots seem to be okay.
See, it's a good thing that we're not traveling currently, because I always think I'm not particularly fond of flying, and I always get into a plane being like, look, if I die it'll be swift and painless. But you're not really helping here, Flynn.
I love the feeling of taking off in a plane where like your bladder just flies into the back of you.
The g-force.
Yeah, I think it's unreal. And like the little like the bump when like you just take off, like the whoop.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
I agree. I love it.
I was going to say that little dip to me is like the reality that you're not just going really fast on the runway and you're actually airborne. That little whoop. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a point where you take off and you're ascending for a minute or two, maybe a couple of minutes, and then it starts to level out and there's this feeling of dropping, and it's the worst, the absolute worst feeling in the world. I hate it so much. My only way to deal with flying at this stage, and I've tried so many different things, but the best way is just to get pretty fucking drunk. Like, quite drunk. So anytime I fly now, I'm like hammering whiskeys into me. And honestly, it's made it so much better, because you just get to a point where you're pretty tipsy and you're like, meh, whatever.
As long as you don't do a Neil Prendeville on it and just take the lad out and start whacking off.
No, but I was told I was going to France once, and I was gone a bit too far, And the stewardess was like, right, you're not having any alcohol on this flight. She was like, are you well enough to fly? And I was like, yes.
Wow.
She was like, well, you're cut off for this flight. I was like, oh, fuck off, bitch.
Bitch.
If you're listening now, you're a fucking bitch.
You're after a few right now, are you?
No, I'm not actually. No, no. I decided against it this time.
Well, you're cut off anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
This wasn't even on a plane. This was like in his apartment last night, and the stewardess was Sonia. Yeah.
I'm trying to fly the plane. Leave me alone.
Bed. Yeah.
Oh, I just hate flying so much. And you know what? Longer flights are better because you go so high and it's just so smooth. So I flew to the Philippines, which is like the other side of the world, and it was grand. It was about 20 hours flying, and I was fine. And then I flew to France, and I hated it. Flying to England is the worst because you never get high enough for it to be smooth. So it's a 1 hour bumpy ride.
Mm-hmm. I think the worst is flying somewhere that's over a big body of water. Because my favorite part of flying is looking out the window. Yeah. So there's sweet fuck all to look at when you're flying over water. I love looking out at like city lights from like 30,000 feet up. Fucking amazing. No, you just have to look at shite, nothing. And I don't understand people who don't look out the window. Like they close the window even on takeoff and on landing. I have got my nose pressed up to the glass. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm the same. But I've realized that like I fly Ryanair a lot and they don't have the windows because they put new seats in, like smaller seats. They don't have the seats lined up to the windows, so you kind of share a window. And that's pretty shit. Yeah. Will we wrap it up, lads?
Sure. So yeah.
We've a solid chunk of content here.
It's like no football.
There was 20 minutes of football in the middle.
All right.
You can cut it so that that's at the, yeah, put that bit at the start or something.
Yeah.
Or who?
Sure.
Oh, I don't know. Fuck it. Fuck the whole thing.
Fuck the Royals and fuck flying.
Yeah, they'll take what we fucking give them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
All right. Okay. Cool. That's a wrap.
Nice one. Enjoy the rest of your weeks.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.